Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in once again on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Brother John, along with Sister Suzanne and a host of many others that call in, as well as those who are listening. We do thank you over and over again for taking your time just to be a part of this radio blog. For those of you that's tuning in for the first time, We are an interactive Bible study, and what we do is we go over scripture, and we just have an interactive discussion, whereas we'll communicate on the scripture, and you know, just anyone that has anything that they would like to share at that time, we open up the mics for anyone who would like to be a part of the discussion, and we just invite you to share what you know, what God is saying to you in respect to that. This evening we're doing a little something different. We have a different microphone system this evening, so I'm hoping that, hoping and praying that everything works out well and that we are coming through clearly. We did have some glitches last week, as I, my understanding that many of you had a hard time hearing me. And so we hope that we correct that. If not, we will continue to try to work out the glitches. Amen. We're going to have Bible. We're going to have a prayer, and then after we have prayer, then we're going to go right into the scripture and begin to start to have a discussion. And oftentimes the Lord kind of leads us in terms of what the scripture is saying and then applying it to our own lives. Amen. So we are always in prayer that whatever we say is we're in line with what God would have us to say. And, you know, we don't want to do anything out of context or, you know, that's not in the spirit. We are just basically trying to encourage each other as we go through this process, and we do pray that that does happen. Tonight, our topic is growing up is hard to do. Growing up is hard to do. That's our topic for this evening, and we are coming from 1 Corinthians. Amen. We're coming from 1 Corinthians 13, and that's 13, 10 through 11, 10 and 11. Growing up is hard to do. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come together as a body. We ask, Heavenly Father, that whatever is said is done in the Spirit, Heavenly Father. We pray that we would just lift you up and encourage those who are listening, even those who are coming on to be a part of this Bible Interactive each and every Wednesday. Father, we don't try to do anything for form or fashion. We just want to come together just to lift up and encourage each other, Heavenly Father. If there's a time that we need prayer and encouragement, there's the time is now. So we ask that you would use us as vessels. Father, we also would like to pray for the sick and afflicted, Heavenly Father, those that may be in the hospital, that may be listening right now. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, for healing upon their bodies, their minds, or whatever they're going through. We pray, Heavenly Father, a lifting of their burdens, Heavenly Father. Lord, for those who are going through financial distress or family situations, Lord, Father, we come together corporately praying against that. Father, you said that no weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. And, Lord, we're asking, Heavenly Father, that our prayers, Heavenly Father, would be heard. And, Lord, Father, we thank you for ministering on behalf of us at this time. We just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the mighty and magnificent name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. For those of you, I would like to say that I am opening all the mics on here. For anyone who is on right now. So if you have something to say, you do not have to push one. You would just speak, but please be cognizant that you have your mics on mute if there's anything going on around you. We can hear it through this end as well as all others who are listening can hear it on that end. And it magnifies, even though it's kind of low on your end or it might not barely be heard on your end, it's magnified on our end because of these mics and the way that everything is set up. Amen? So we just want to be able to do everything decently and in order. Again, our scripture we're coming from is growing up is hard to do. It's hard to do. Do you ever remember the time in your life when you were a youth or when you were younger and someone would say, act your age and not your shoe size? Now, my parents, you know, they basically just say it, act your age. But then we've also heard the saying of act your age and not your shoe size. If you may be 4, 5, or 7, 10 at that time, act your age and not your shoe size. Of course, we know that shoe sizes are always small. So therefore, you know, the term literally means that you're not acting your age, that you are not acting your age. When we look at that, you know, growing up is not as easy as it sounds. Now, I was looking up a survey, and it says a survey that was published says that Nickelodeon revealed that men don't officially grow up until they reach the age of 43. Women, of course, reach maturity years earlier, and when they are 32. I thought that, you know, was quite intriguing, you know, to hear or read that researchers said that men don't grow up until the age of 43, and women don't grow up until the age of 32. A man, I always felt that, you know, during my time, when I was coming up, I always felt that I acted older than I was because of the way that I handled things, the way that I saw things in my life, the way that things that I handled things, that I acted my age. And then here study is saying that, you know, that it's not going to be until 43, until actually when I grew up. There are usually signs, you know, that that we go through when we are considered immature. When we're considered immature, or telling someone else, why are you not acting your age? And another way for that is being immature, and that may not be at all bad. That might not be all bad at that particular point, because, you know, it states that 10 people think immaturity is important in relationships because it makes sure the relationship stays fun. A third of the people think that it's a bit challenged because it helps bonding with children. So there are some comments out there that feel that immaturity is not all bad. It's not all bad because someone who is immature is going to be fun, or someone who is immature is someone who is almost a bit childish. So therefore, they're saying that children can relate to that immaturity. Now, please keep in mind, as I am, you know, just talking, this is an interactive Bible study, and I love to be able to hear, you know, from the men and women of God, you know, for whatever that you would like to share on this topic, and that's what makes it beautiful, this Bible study, an interactive Bible study, is when you make comments on that. Now, as we continue, it says, you know, that people who act immature, that the reason that people act immature, that and they're feeling, or people are saying, that it's time to grow up and settle down. It's time to grow up and settle down. It's time to grow up and settle down. When we look at that to me, that's saying that it's time to begin to start to make some sound choices in your life. Some sound choices, and begin to start to look at the facts of what life is all about in our life. What life is all about in our life. In other words, we can't stay that age forever. We can't act that way forever. But yet here research says that we do not grow up until 43 and women are at 32. And then another research saying that we should act mature, immature for the rest of our lives because we have better relationships and also we bond with our kids. And I thought that to be very, very interesting when we start looking at it in terms of what is immaturity. What is immaturity? Now, when we look at the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, it says, But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I reasoned as a child. And when I became a man, I had done away with what belonged to the child. Now, when I look at that, it says, but that which is perfect has come. When I see that in terms of that which is perfect, we're looking at in terms of a worldly point of view and from a spiritual point of view, a worldly point of view and a spiritual point of view. The world says that we should act immature. That we should act immature, that we will live longer when we act immature, that we will have a better relationship when we act immature, or we have a better bonding with our kids when we're immature. Now, when we look at 1 Corinthians, it says, but that which is perfect has come. When that which is perfect has come, I see that as being Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming back for us. That which is perfect has come, and that which is in part shall be done away. That which is in part shall be done away. Now, when I looked at that, that was the side which was the imperfect side. There's the perfect, and then there is the imperfect side. Those areas in our life where we act or we think or we talk a certain way, then as we continue to grow, especially when we accept Christ in our lives, then we begin to start to see things in a different way. We began to start to act a different way. We can't hold on to our past of how we responded when we were immature or when we were in a child's frame of mind. We cannot hold on to that. We have to let it go. We have to let it go. It's nice to know or nice to feel young. It's nice to act young. But there is a certain limit as far as we can go. Now, when we go and begin to start to, if you are older or seasoned and began to start to wear and act and do the same things that you did when you were in your youth, that's out of place. That's out of place. So that's the imperfect side. As we began to start to experience life, as we began to start to get older, as we began to start to see things and understand things, our thinking and our attitude changes. And we began to reason a little bit different than what we did when we were younger. In fact, I would think that when we were younger, it was almost like we really didn't care. in terms of responses. Now, that was just me. I'm only speaking for me. Someone else, friends, other friends I knew, when they reasoned, they became angry with situations and refused to deal with it. So therefore, they chose alternative vices to handle that. So we all have our own way of handling that, but as we get older, as we begin to start to mature, as especially once we accept Christ, we take the old things that we used to do and we leave them on the side, and we begin to start to have a different attitude. We begin to start to have a different talk. We begin to start to reason differently than what we did when we were younger. Now, I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to open up the mics and ask if there are any questions, I mean, any comments for, you know, from the, you know, from those that are listening. Any comments? 216-843-614. Amen. Amen. I'm hoping that I get some interaction here, you know, that you know, those of you that's listening will comment when you feel free. And moving on, you know, to that, we began to start to reason and act a little different than what we did when we were younger. So how I see that is as God, as Jesus Christ, and it says, but that which is perfect has come, and that which is in part shall be done away. We're taking all of the things that we used to do when we were growing up and or that old side, you know, and we're taking that and putting it, pushing it on the side, and we are adopting, we're adopting a new attitude, a new way of living, a new way of talking. When we became angry, when we were in the old man, as I said, then we don't become angry anymore. We don't become angry anymore. I know with myself when I find when situations occur and I feel that I am getting angry about something or something can anger me, I'm at the point that I feel that I just put it in God's hands. I pray about it, and I put it in God's hands. And it always works out. It always works out. Now, if I had reacted or responded like my old, in my youth, how I responded to situations, if I responded to situations now, I always believe that when there is something negative in our lives and we respond with it on a negative basis, then the outcome is going to be negative. The outcome is going to be negative. And when we respond to something in a positive manner, then the outcome is going to be positive. Amen? Any comments? Any comments? Okay, we're going to move on. And 11, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I reasoned as a child. And when I became a man, I had done with what belonged to the child. I had done with what belonged to the child. When I was a child, that part is the knowledge we're comparing with. The idea here is that the knowledge which we now have compared to that which we will have as we are trying to make it into heaven. Once we accept Christ in our lives, when I was a child, once we accept Christ in our lives and we begin to start to study the Word of God, we begin to start to study the Word of God, then we begin to get a revelation of understanding of what God expects of us.
Amen.
And our ideas and our mindset begins to start to change. And God is wants to be our best friend. I always look at it that when we are studying the Word of God or reading the Word of God, we're talking to God. And when we are praying, I'm sorry, when we are reading the Word of God, God is talking to us. And when we are praying, then we are talking to God. So it becomes a one-on-one relationship, a one-on-one interaction. And the more that we continue to do that, the more we become familiar with what God expects of us. What God expects of us. There are promises that God has given us, and all we have to do is just hold on to those promises and believe that his word does not come back void. Now, that's from a spiritual side, a mature side. From the immature side, if someone says something to the old self responds in anger. The spiritual side hears it but does not respond to it because it does not affect them the same way it did when they were in their youth or before they accepted Christ. Any comments? Any comments? Okay, we're going to move on. Now, and as I mentioned, that the knowledge that we receive from the Word of God is from the spiritual side, and we're comparing the worldly knowledge that we have compared to the spiritual side, which is how God is expecting us to respond. So as we advance in our years, we are to lay aside all those things, the imperfections that we have, or that the things that prevent us from being and acting the way that God wants us to be, we lay those aside and we allow God to handle our situations for us. Pray about it. We walk in faith, walk by faith and not by sight. Now, here it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, meaning that the young side or that youthful side that we have, that's within us, that youthful side, we speak one way. We spoke one way, should I say. I don't know anyone who still talks like they are 30-year-old, 40, 50-year-old, who still talks like they are 17-year-old or a 10-year-old. So here it is. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. As a child, the things that would hurt us as a child, the things that would hurt us, from that old self or that worldly side or that worldly self, those things that hurt us then will not harm us or hurt us as we begin to mature in the Word of God. I reasoned as a child. The things that I think about or the things that was happening or that are happening to me in my life, the things that are happening in my life, I respond totally different.
Right.
I respond totally different. Just the way I articulate to those situations that are imperfect, the knowledge that I have gained from the Word of God of how I should act, then my thinking and my reasoning is going to be different. It's going to be different compared to the old side of me. That old John is not going to respond to a situation that may anger me or may make me feel uncomfortable. It's not going to have the same effect once I understand or I know the Word of God. See, because that spirit that's within us, whatever that is coming against us, that spirit that's within us is going to guide and going to direct us and teach us how that we are to respond. It's going to teach us how we are going to respond toward certain situations.
Amen.
So as we begin to, as we study the Word of God, as we learn more of God, as we learn more of our best friend, as we learn more, the spirit within us is what we understand is the spirit within us is Christ, the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to protect us, what's going to guide us. So we're not supposed to walk around in fear. We're not supposed to respond from negative situations to a negative situation in a negative way. If we look at everything in a positive way, then the outcome is going to be positive. God says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Now, I could believe that to be 100%, or I could believe it to be 50 or whatever number percentage you want to put on it. But God wants us to believe 100% that whatever situation we're going through is always going to work out as long as He is first, as long as we have the attitude of Christ, as long as we reason with that situation with a Christian mentality, a Christ-like attitude, a Christ-like mentality. As long as we respond to that in that way, the outcome is going to be positive. It's going to be positive. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I was hurt. I'm hurt from the old self. You can't hurt me anymore by what you say. You cannot say things to me that's going to make me feel less than who I am.
Right.
You cannot speak to me in any old kind of way and make me feel like I'm nothing. Now, as a child, you might be, as a child's mindset, that might happen. But once I accept Christ in my life and begin to start to read His Word and stay in prayer, and I continue to mature in that way, then that those childish attitudes, those childish thoughts, those childish comments that came that I thought of that I would respond on, they're no more. I have them no more. Any comments? Any situations where you have run into situations where you have been tested or tried, and people expected you to respond the same way you did when they knew you in the world?
I agree with you. This is Elder Cook. I agree with you to the fact where, amen, praise the Lord, that when you read the Word and meditate on the Word and you get mature in the Word, your faith begins to grow even more stronger. Your belief gets even more stronger when you begin to, like I said, read the Word and meditate, and you begin to mature, get a deeper relationship with the Lord. That gives you more of a, you become more mature Christian. So your faith level grows even more higher when you start believing things out of the box.
Amen.
You know, when you start believing the impossible, that God can make it possible. You know,
amen,
that's a faith growth. And the way
amen
you get that faith growth is reading the Word, like you said, and meditating and maturing in the Lord.
Amen.
So I agree.
Amen. Have you, Elder Cook, has there ever been situations in your life where the people that you knew, you know, from your past before you
mm-hmm
accepted Christ in your life,
mm-hmm,
tested you to see how you would respond since you accepted Christ in your life?
Sure. Many a times that I have encountered things where some people tested me as far as when I became a minister, and they began to test me on things, and then they come back and say, you know, now you're a minister now, you know, and try to test me in a way of, how I would react. But thanks be to God that the maturity that I had in God and in a relationship with God, I didn't have to go that route, you know, the route that they would think I would go. So, you know, yes, I've been tested plenty of times of that, but the maturity in God that I have and, once again, the relationship that I have with God, I don't have to think that way again or even do those things anymore. And I believe the enemy do try you. The more you get more mature in the Lord and you get a good relationship with God, a more intimate relationship with God, I believe the enemy will come and attack you even more and use people. So,
amen.
That's what I have.
He uses people. And sometimes it's your closest people, closest around
Yes.
you.
Yes. Family, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
Close friends.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, just to piggyback on that, Elder Cook, you know, I think about in terms of sometimes with my family members, you know, that want me to begin, you know, or the things that I used to do when I was, you know, before I accepted Christ in my life, wanting me to still do those things with them and becoming upset. I'm not going to say becoming upset, but how can I say it? Trying to intimidate me or not intimidate me, to influence me to, you know, okay, you know, just come on and, you know, have one drink with us, you know, a couple of drinks with us, you know, it's okay, it's okay, you know, come on and do this with us, it's okay, it's okay. And then after that, you lose your credibility.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You lose your credibility. How are you going to tell somebody about Christ when you're doing the same thing they're doing?
Exactly. Amen.
So I think that's how the enemy kind of works on us. You know, he works with those that are closest to us, you know, to try to so that we lose our credibility.
That's right. That's why I always tell, amen.
What did you say?
I'm saying that's why I always say, I always tell people, you know, you got to hold on to the anointing. You got to guard your anointing. You got to guard what God has given you because the enemy will always try to swift you and always try to take that anointing away. So you always got to guard that anointing that's on your life because people are watching you.
Amen.
And as soon as you mess up as a minister, as a preacher, you know, there it goes. You're discreditable. Oh, I thought you was a preacher. Oh, you did this, you did that. Oh, you're supposed to be the woman of the cloth or a man of the cloth. That's why it's so important. If you're in ministry, you need to be careful who you're around and be careful the way you talk. You represent God, so you got to be careful how you represent God because there are people out there watching.
Amen. Closely.
Amen.
Closely,
yes.
Elder Cook, would you, you know, and I always like to, you know, to but for someone that may not understand what the anointing is, you know, and I don't always like to take things for granted for our listeners. Could you explain to them, when you say you lose the anointing, could you explain what that means, you know, in layman terms?
Your anointing is the Holy Spirit that you have possessed and you have asked for. The characteristics of God. You know, the things that you hold into God, like the love, the charity, long-suffering, your gifts. There's plenty of gifts, the gifts of singing, gifts of preaching, the gift of serving. There's plenty of gifts that God gives us. And you've got to kind of hold that together because, like I said, the enemy will try to take that gift that God has given you, and it's the Holy Spirit. You got to hold on to that Holy Spirit, not let the enemy take that away. So when I say hold on to your anointing, which is your gift, your calling that's on your life, and say, like I said, the calling could be serving, preaching, singing, hospitality. There's so many callings on your life, and the enemy desires to swift that, and he uses people to do that. So when I say that, it means you got to guard that anointing that God has given you. and his presence, God's presence that's in your life. Once again, the enemy would like to steal that presence that you have of God that's in your life. So that's what I consider the anointing, all those things.
Amen. And thank you so much for, you know, for explaining that, you know, because, again, I don't like to take things for granted because someone, you know, can hear the anointing all, you know, every day and never understand what the anointing is. You know, so thank you for breaking that down. Because we have so many listeners that are on, and some, you know, may be going to church, but, you know, they may, you know, just be babes in Christ. You know, they don't understand it. So, you know, thank you so much for that. You know, and I also look at in terms of, you know, in terms of our thought process, you know, for those that may be out there that have accepted Christ in their life, and and allowing, you know, and as you said, losing your anointing, allowing the things of the world, you know, to get them back into how they used to be of arguing, you know, or understanding something in a certain manner and finding fault easily, or being intimidated, or someone making them feel less than they are, you know, as a man and woman of God, we belong to a king. We are heirs of a king. So there's no way that anyone of this world can make us feel that we're less than who we are. Because Jesus Christ, when we accept Jesus Christ in our lives, then we are heirs. We are brothers and sisters in the Word. You know, we are heirs, and we are to walk. God says that He wants to bless us abundantly, and we have to believe that. We have to believe all that God has said. We cannot change one part of it. All that God has said. God says, you know, that there are so many promises that He has provided for us. He says that no weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. We have to believe that no matter who comes against us because of what we stand for is going to hurt us, is going to hurt us in any kind of way. We have to have that attitude. We have to believe in it 100%. And it also says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if we think, or if there's doubt in our thinking, there's going to be room to feel that it may not happen.
That's right.
And we cannot think along those directions. We can't feel along those directions. For those of you that's listening there, you know, please understand that when we accept Christ in our life, that is a calling that we can't compare it to nothing of this world.
That's
of this world. And the more that we begin to walk the walk and talk the talk and believe what God has said as men and women of God, the more God begins to open doors for us. We're walking around and trying to find things of the world that's going to make us rich. But we forget about just the idea of waking up another day. Just something simple like that. Now, if I had $1 billion, a choice of having $1 billion or waking up the next day, I would choose life over the money. Because if we're dead, we can't enjoy it anyway.
That's right.
If we're dead to the world, how are we going to enjoy it? God has made it so simple, so simple. And He's given His word as examples, and all we have to do is follow those examples. Believe in the word of God. Believe that what God says is true. It's true. And it is the truth. And all we have to do is believe that. Amen? And that's why when I was thinking, when I was thinking of that, Elder Cook, and it seems like, you know, no one else, I'm looking at the other numbers on here, and since no one else is going to comment, I'm going to piggyback with you.
Okay.
I'm going to
okay.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the
Lord. And when I looked at that in terms of growing up is hard to do. Growing up is hard to do. Becoming what God wants us to be. Being mm-hmm. able to separate the world and being able to walk in the spirit and not from the carnal side but from the spiritual side. Growing
mm-hmm.
up is hard to do.
Yes.
It's hard to do. And I truly believe that many do not come to Christ because they feel that they cannot be obedient to the word of God. They can't be obedient to the word of God. And I truly believe, and I'm here to tell you, that we all sin and fall short from the glory of God. No one is perfect. And I'm talking
right.
to you right now that's listening. No one
mm-hmm.
is perfect.
Right.
It's a growing experience. It's a growing mm-hmm. experience. And to really make it true, I don't think anyone has really grown up what Christ wants us to be. I don't think any of us, we still, no matter how much you read the word, no matter how much you pray, we're still going to have our trials.
Yes.
We're still going to have our trials. We're going to be tried. We're going to be tried, no matter what, on your job, with your family, with your friends, you are going to be challenged. And I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you that the victory has already been won. You
That's
don't have
right.
to worry about failing. The victory has already been won. As Elder Cook was just saying, you know, when we begin to fall short, we start to lose our anointing. Many of you out there who are gifted singers,
mm-hmm.
gifted in so many ways that God has anointed you, that if you don't use it, if you don't use those talents, if you bury them and choose not to use them, you will lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You will lose
That's
it.
That's right.
Any comments? Any comments?
I would like to have something to say. I think
Amen.
That it all boils down. Can you hear me?
Yes, can.
I think it boils down to our faith. If our faith fails, then we fail. And we must mature in the faith of God, because faith is what builds us up. As Jesus told Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith fail you not, because
mm-hmm.
the devil wants to sift you like wheat. And that's
Amen.
What happens when the devil comes in. He wants to take us out. But if our faith
mm-hmm.
is strong in Jesus, then we can stand the test. James said, have joy in your trials, because your trials will give you patience. And now people
Amen.
Don't have patience anymore. They want it right today. Thank you.
I call that the microwave society. I want it right away, right now, right away.
Right now, right now. You know, we look at, and I hate to say this, and I'm going to get off it. We look at right now, we have people come up being bishops, no church. We have people just jumping into pastry, and they haven't studied. And we have a lot of things that God has not put his hand on. And that anointing you were talking about, God has to anoint you. You can stand up. You look at it. Don't look at it today. Many of our brothers are falling because they have relaxed in their faith, and they haven't trusted God to lead them. They want to lead God.
Mm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
That's such a powerful piece, and I say that. Think about that. Relaxed in our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know. And that happens
right.
so often. We become comfortable and think we've arrived. Think we've arrived. And you know, and this is a constant journey, a constant journey. We have to continue to study. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to minister to others that come out. It's a constant journey. We cannot let up. And I like that. Relax. Amen. Relax. Becoming very relaxed. Amen. My sister, that was on the other line. My sister on the other line that just was commenting. missed that.
Also, when you were talking about, when you also you were talking about growth, hard growing up, I believe too that as you grow up, there's a responsibility. You have to take responsibility of things, and a lot of people don't want to take that responsibility as they get older. You know, they always want to stay as that little child, but that's why you grow. You grow in stages. So I believe it's mostly people don't like that responsibility that they have to have as you get older. And people are afraid of that. It's the same thing when you give your life to Christ. That's why a lot of people don't give their life to Christ, because there's a responsibility that you have to hold. Once you say, Lord, forgive me, God does his part, but now it's your part to take on that responsibility to do yours. And a lot of people are afraid of that responsibility. I don't understand why, but it's an issue. When I look at marriages, I'm going to go with marriages, how, you know, a man has the responsibility and the woman has the responsibility. But when the marriage fails, somebody lacks the responsibility. But you have to realize when you become one, you both have a responsibility to have in the relationship.
Yeah.
Amen. So,
yeah.
You know, that's why I feel it's hard, you know, to grow up. It's hard for people to grow up because that responsibility that they have to have as an adult. You know, we want to still stay as a child. Amen.
Any comments?
Yes. There's one comment. None of us want to get old. And that's the thing of growing.
Yeah.
When we get one gray hair, we pluck it out. But the Bible tells us that God knows every gray hair we got. And getting old means having responsibilities. And if you don't have the responsibility of when you get old, then you don't know how to treat the responsibility when you get old. And you look at young guys older, and I ain't going to say how old I am, but guys my age, you know, they run around with the music blasting and dying hair and things of that nature. But it's more or less we must accept who we are in God.
Yeah. Right.
Because I believe that we look at Methuselah, 900-some years old. He didn't worry about how old he was. And the other, they didn't worry about it. They just worried about walking with God. So no matter how old you get, no matter how your eyes dim, no matter if you get arthritis in your kneecaps, still love on God.
Amen. And that's just a process. That's just a process we go through. You know, with when you start talking about in terms of the body and the arthritis and all of that, that's just a process. The same thing as far as, you know, as having, developing a relationship with Christ. You know, the more that we begin to have and lean on, the more we lean on Christ, the more we realize that he's not just a myth.
That's right.
He's not just a myth. I mean, God is real. And I think that many hear the word Jesus Christ, and it's almost like a myth, something that they've heard all their life, but never tried him because they felt he was only a myth, only something that everybody talks about, but he's not real. Until you accept Christ in your life, turn your life over, and then you start seeing, you know, how God begins to start to work in your life. I mean, things happen in your life, and you start asking yourself, you know, it can't be just natural.
Right.
That's why it happened. You know, it can't just be. It can't be natural. God has to be in the work. So God really, I always say God just shows out. Shows up and shows out. He does things in our life and always he puts you on alert to remind us that he is still God, that he's still the same God today as he was yesterday, still the same God. And I think that many are afraid to try God is because they're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of the unknown. They don't know what to expect. They've been told who Jesus Christ is and all the miracles and all the things that he's done, but they don't know what to expect in their lives. This was in the past. Well, is this the same thing? Can it happen today? Yes, it can. For those of you that's listening, yes, it can. God is still, God is still creating miracles all over. If you begin to start to listen, you'll hear testimonies from different parts of the world of how God is still working miracles. But you have to listen out for that. You have to listen out for that. God is always, he's not going to change. He's not going to change. And God wants us to love him with all of our heart. He wants us to love him to the utmost, put him first in everything that we do. That's the part of growing up. Growing up is when we love God more than we love that car. When we love God more than anything else, when we put him first, that's the growing up. It's when we turn it all over to him. When we give him our all and all, no matter what, putting God first, not second, not third, but first. And when we do that, then that's when God begins to start to give us a little taste, a little bit more of who he is, the taste of who he is, just saying, you know, good job. I see you trying. I see what you're trying to do. And God will always reveal himself. He will always let us know that he's still God. And above him there is no other. And that's all we have to do. I heard before in terms of just relaxing, for knowing God, having a relationship with God and becoming relaxed. I call it relaxed, being relaxed on the job, too comfortable on the job, to the point where we, you know, we begin to start to know it and understand it, and then we begin to start to relax. This is a spiritual warfare that we're going through. This is a spiritual warfare, a daily spiritual warfare. And the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy anything that you're trying to do for God. And we have to understand that. We have to understand it. It's like going over and fighting in a battle. We're not going to be out there in a battle fighting in the Army, the Navy, or the Marines, or wherever we are, and relax. We're always going to be on guard, always watching out for the enemy because we don't know where he may be coming from. Always being on guard. And that's this warfare every day that we wake up praying, and we're walking by faith and not by sight. We have to stay on guard. We have to be watching at all times because the enemy is trying to prevent us from doing what God wants us to do. Any comments? Any comments? Got kind of quiet up there. Maybe I'm talking too much.
It's good. It's good.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Growing up is hard to do. I heard to get comment in terms of responsibilities. Responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Not wanting to accept responsibilities. Not wanting to stand up and be who God created you to be.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm here to tell you that once you choose Christ, once you choose God in your life will never, ever be the same. It only gets better. And if you want to be able to have that relationship with Christ, then that means that you have to sell out. You have to sell out. You have to sell out for Jesus Christ. It's like a store selling out, mm-hmm. giving up everything. And let me tell you something. When you give up those things, you gain much more.
Yeah.
You gain much more. So I don't know who it is, you know, that we may be talking to, but you know, if it touches home, then that means that that's a word for you. And that's what all this is about. We're just here encouraging each other.
Yeah.
And what I mean by each other, that's everybody that's listening. Everybody that's a part of this. We're here to encourage each other.
Amen.
It's not one person